God. I prayed about what to do today, and so, like I do every Sunday, let me be clear, I pray every I need to cover a couple of bases all in one message time. Can we do multiple things at one time? I want to call our attention to a scripture, and then I want to have a conversation, and conversations go both ways. So I need you to be ready to participate. We're gonna do five things in about 35 minutes. Can we do five things in about 35? We already in part one is the instructions. Then we're gonna have some definition. Then we're gonna have a lesson. And then we're gonna have question and answer. And then we're gonna have application. Y'all want me to run through them again? We'll have instruction. That's what we're doing now. I want you to know we already started. Second thing, we're going to define what we're doing. And third thing, we're going to have a lesson about what we are doing. Then we're going to have question and answer over the lesson to make sure we understood what we did. And then five, we'll have an application. We're going to show what we learned. Come on, somebody. And so Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Reading from the New King James Version. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your possession. Somebody say possession. With the first fruits of all of your increase. Amen. That's the first half is on you, right? Okay. Honor the Lord with your possession, not with somebody else's, not with what they had, not with what applied to somebody else. I didn't say it. It said your possession. So if you don't own a fruit stand, your increase ain't fruit. Y'all don't want to hear me. I need somebody with me. All right. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Legitimate, illegitimate. Direct deposit or under the table. With all of your increase, that's on you. The second side is on God. Y'all ready for this? So your barns will be full with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Your barns will be full. Barns are a representation of your storage. That's what you build. You build your barns big enough so that you can hold all of your stuff. So your stuff will be full. With plenty. And your vats will overflow with new. I mean, it just arrived. This ain't last season. I need y'all with me. This ain't you living off of what you had stored up. This new stuff. I need you. Come on, say I got some new stuff. I got new stuff. I want to talk just for a moment about giving to make room for a return. I'm giving to make room. To make room. I teach my kids, when you got too much in your closet, time to give some away. What I'm wearing is I can do this, I can do that. And the problem is that if you give some away, you make some room for some new stuff. Some of us can't accept new stuff because you ain't made room. All right. So we out of instruction. Definition. Giving is hard. It's hard because of a couple of things. One, it's hard because of society. It's hard to give in a society that tells you to take. Because they tell you it's hard to fill up if you're handing out. So I'm going to go get mine. I need somebody that knows some selfish people. You know? One of the hardest spirits to break is a stingy spirit. Selfish. Giving is a hard thing to get people in the mindset of. For a couple of reasons, but one of the struggles is people don't like to give because they don't trust God. Life situations can make the human mind wonder if God really cares. If you look at the world, you would just forest fires taking over entire communities. They stop counting the houses and start counting the acres. It was stop counting them one by one and start counting them in tens of acres. The fire went along so long they built an app that you could get messages on to tell you if your area was being evacuated. Because the wind would shift. They sent an accident out and said that every area in California and L.A. was being evacuated at the same time. Almost had a horrible issue because they developed stuff so fast, but the fire was still burning. Y'all just was 5-6 days ago. Had snow. Not flakes. Y'all had inches. Seems like God sometime don't care. Companies going bankrupt. We've seen companies come off of the Fortune 500 one year and in bankruptcy court the next. We've seen people that we've admired be brought down in scandal. It's one thing when you're married 4 years and getting a divorce, but it's a whole other thing at 24 and 25 years, 30 years. And things that make the country what it is, it seems like can be taken away with the stroke of a pen. Yeah. Make you wonder if you can really trust. The pulpit has been one of the only insulated places that we can have these conversations because you have them at your lunch hour. You might not have a lunch break again. In the last 7 days, we've seen the United States changed more than we've seen it change in the last 50 to 100 years. We saw in November people voted with their pockets, but didn't understand that they was coming after your person. According to Bloomberg, 30 of the 47 original executive orders will write out a project 2025.
Yes.
Pastor, I thought we was talking about giving. But what kind of God would sit back and let this kind of rolling back legislation that took years to pass in your first 24 hours? Innocent people that have been in jail, still in jail. They had no proof or convicted based on the color of their skin. Still sit in prison today. But 1,500 people pardoned that were caught on camera. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Huh? They signed the ending of radical and wasteful government DEI programs and preferences, but didn't understand that it was only on a federal level, but it was also trying to end CTR, critical race theory, that has only been talked about to people that wanted to end it. There's no evidence that it is proven to be in schools, so they're fighting against it. But what you don't understand is that you didn't care about DEI, and they really made sure you didn't care about CRT, but they're really coming after your civil rights. And it seems like God don't really care. It's cause and effect. The principle that takes place. And Pastor, I thought we were talking about giving. I am. Because if you don't trust him with your money, you surely don't trust what you went through the last 7 days that you can make it the next 4 years. When we've heard a party saying what they can't do, what they can't do, what they can't do, what they can't do, what they have to wait to be done because they got to wait till it be done so we can make sure that it's right when we do it. But then you see somebody else do something in 4 days than more than we've seen other people do in 4 years. And all right, y'all don't talk. But the question is do we trust God to respond still with overflow? Has the church been weakened because all we're worried about is possession when we don't even understand that God has a way of protecting you even when there's an order signed to take you out? I'm talking about giving, but I really want us to talk about trusting God. So I want to make sure I'm still on my, let me get to my lesson. I'm walking through. Three things we got to know that giving makes room for a return. First thing, that honoring God requires priority. Honor the Lord with your possession. That word honor, kabad, K-A-B-A-D, conveys a sense of weightiness. It really means value him. That his God is worth his weight. So if I honor God, it requires that I put him at a priority in my life. But if I understand that my giving, what I give to in order of priority, means that if I give to anything else before him, I've put it in his place. I can't afford to give, because then if I give, then this can't happen. Well, is that more important than him? Because if you've mismanaged the 100, you're surely going to mismanage the 90. Your issue is not the 10. Am I making sense, y'all? I'm not even on seed. I'm just tithe. If you can't afford to, Well, Pastor, this is not about tithes and offering. This is about Seed Sunday. We're talking about first fruits. What's first fruit? Well, Genesis 4:3-5. This is the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis 4:3-5 says, in the course of time, Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering. But Abel also brought an offering. Fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. Cain just brought some. Abel brought the first. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. I want you to understand this. This is the first part of the lesson about why you have to honor God. It's because if you really understand that God will accept both, but he only favors the first. If it's given as the first, that means that people beside you can give. Don't mean we're going to get the same return. There's not a difference in who they gave it to. There's not a difference in the fact that they gave. The difference is that when Abel gave his first, he got favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Wasn't angry. See, the problem is we get mad when people get blessed because of their sacrificial gift. And they can't get what you get because they ain't give what you... You gave out of your comfort. I gave out of a cost. And you wonder how I got to where I am. Oh, I make it look easy, but it ain't. Come on, y'all. That Hezekiah Walker had a song. The Lord will make a way somehow. I don't need to know the somehow. All I need to know is who I gave it to. First, you have to honor him requires pardon. You cannot give to God if he's not important, because he's not a bill collector. He doesn't cut you off when you don't. You can look like everybody else and not giving at the level that everybody else gave. But you know when it's going to show up? By and by, when the morning comes. Because then you're going to try to figure out why I can go through. Watch this. Don't mean that I don't go through the same hell everybody else go through. It means it don't affect me how it affect everybody. Mm-hmm. I ain't say I wasn't crazy. I got good coverage. Hurricane came through here in July. Slept through it. I did. Slept through it. Woke up. 8 in the morning, wind was still blowing. I felt something slapping up against the house. Woke, maybe you all right? You hear that? Looked outside, didn't see what it was. Went laid back in the bed. Went outside. All of the shingles was off the house. On the ground. Insulation gone. Go to the other side, all of the side and off the house. I'm looking at the wood. I could look and see between the first floor and the second floor where they put a gap and how water was blowing in and it was just slowly trickling out. And I got back in the house and said, why, the winds was raging. I was asleep. Y'all missed it. Having God as a priority don't mean you don't go through storms. It means when the storm get bad, I'm covered. I ain't talking about payment of fixing. I'm saying that the house was still standing because I was in it. I'm crazy enough to believe that the house might have blew down if we wasn't in it. I'm crazy enough to believe that I'm looking at people that half the shingles was off their house and we ain't had but like two or three that had moved but not a drip inside the house. So y'all don't know when to shout. I said the whole siding was gone. No mold. No. Sinus issues, just fine. Paid, they put the blue tarp up. We had the blue tarp house for about a month and a half. Wait on the insurance company. Every week getting up preaching. Every week getting up giving. Every week we getting up preaching. Every week we getting up. Sent us a check. Sent it in our name and the mortgage name. Got to get that, sign that, send that off to the mortgage people just for them to send it back signed to us 2 weeks later. Still waiting. Just siding still gone. House still standing. Why? Because God was first. Pastor, you saying people's houses went down? Didn't have God first? No. I'm saying mine up because he did. What up? I can't tell you why your story. Don't talk to me. Because it's in my heart. Let me keep going. Got to have him first. Somebody say first. I think they passed out some paper to everybody. If you got a question, write it down. We're going to do question and answer. Y'all ready? Number two, y'all ready for this one? First fruits reflect faith and obedience. You got questions, write them down. I promise you, I'm going to get to them. 1 Corinthians 3. They passing it out now. 1 Corinthians 3. It should be. Is it in the? Okay, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. No. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15. 15, 20 through 23. So if they say giving is Old Testament. Come on, y'all know barbershop theology. Church just wants your money. I've been crazy a long time. It's all right. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. They say the church only wants your money. But while they pulling up 1 Corinthians 15, go over to John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he... What'd he do? Wait a minute. Love makes you give. But I can't stand no selfish love. I don't want nobody that's selfish. Corinthians. Y'all in Chronicles. I knew that wasn't right. 1 Corinthians. I was like, that didn't look right to me. 'd I say? For God so loved the world that he gave his. If it's his only, that's his first, ain't it? It's hard to be the only one and you ain't the first one. Gave his only son, which was his first. So what did God believe in doing as first fruit? He gave. So even God gave a first. I just want y'all to know we ain't making this up. But Christ now, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23, but Christ is risen from the dead and has become the of those who have fallen Because come on, y'all. I need y'all that grew up Baptist like me. Heard it every Sunday. Hung him high, they dropped him low. Hung his head, then he. For me, he died. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he as the first fruit. I ain't going to Abraham's bosom. No. I'm going to heaven. And the first person that went, he was the first fruit. Go to 21 for me. Go to 21 for me. For since by man came, Job says, every man that's born of woman, a few days full of trouble. As sure as you live, you're going to die. We all got to go that way. By man has also come the resurrection of the dead. That man is capital by Jesus. By Jesus has, I mean, I'm. You might see my body here, but I ain't here. Funerals are not for the dead. I don't care how powerful the preacher is. He can't get you to heaven. I don't care how many people get saved at your funeral. If you didn't accept Christ, you won't see him. I don't care how good your expressions are. I don't care if you get up to the mic and lie about how much they love the Lord. They was a praiser. They came to church every Sunday. None of that is going to get you in heaven. What gets you in heaven? Confess and believe. Then you shall be. That's what's going to get you to heaven. How you know you're going to heaven, though? That's what gets you saved. What gets you to heaven is, I'm going where he at. How do you know? Because he's the first fruit of those that got up. I'm going with him. Verse 22. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. Verse 23. This is my shout. But each in turn, Christ. Afterward, toward those Christ at his coming. Christ is first fruit. John 3:16. I got to go back. I want us to be clear about this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his first one. It was his only one. It had to be. You're not first, you're last. Y'all don't want to talk to me. But he was the first of God's children to get here. And when he left, he reconciled us. As the first fruits. I'm getting in on his tab. Because if I'm saved, I qualify to put my ticket in his name. I'm sorry, under the blood. That means whatever you know about me becomes irrelevant if I love God. Okay. All right, let's go. Y'all write y'all questions down. So I have to give out of because it's a priority. Not out of convenience. It ain't gonna be cute, but I'm gonna give. Might not all be what I think it should be, but I'm going to give. Yeah. Things going crazy, but I'm going. They sign in orders every day, but I'm going to give. Yeah. Because as long as he's signing, I need to make sure my name in the book. I need to make sure I'm on the list of handouts. Because I serve a God that if they shut the whole company down, I'm good. Because I understand that you was, this is what I need you to understand, you was the the resource he used, but you wasn't the source. Come on, y'all. I need y'all to take the analogy of the children at Halloween. They go from house to house to house to house to house. And then they knock at the door, ding dong, trick or treat. But if your light ain't on, sometimes they still come to the door. And they'll look at you, I don't have any candy. They don't go home. They just go to the next house. So why, if children understand the principle of keep going, all of the candy wasn't coming from your house. I came out here to get candy. You said, no, that's all right. I'm going next door. I ain't out of faith until I'm out of doors to knock on. I rung their doorbell. They ain't even answer. Don't worry about it. And let me tell you how children bless you. I'm going to give y'all this and I'm going to my next one. They'll remember in the daytime who didn't answer them at the nighttime. They'll see you with your garage up. When I went to their house, Daddy, they didn't even open up the door. So if you got something you want to give away, don't give it to them because they ain't even open the door. All right, y'all know. Okay, third thing, this is the shout of the text, that there's a promise of overflowing blessing. Yeah. Why don't you start off with trusting God? Because if you don't trust God, then the overflow will never apply to you because you don't believe that he can give you and has the ability to do what he said he would do. Yeah, he'll overflow. Fill your barn. Your barn. I like this, and I really didn't want a Bible study today, but I God led me this way. That filling the barn is not an application of the limits of God. It's the limits of your expectation. Because the size barn you have is the size of the limit that you're willing to put on God. And what God says, I'm willing to fill up whatever you got capacity for me to put in. I used to shout about overflow. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me. Oh, I used to be, God, just I want the overflow. Just let me get the little bit that spill over. And I was all in that thing and just, yeah, overflow. Every week I'd pray for overflow. And what God says is, overflow is waste. Overflow is a sign of lack of capacity. I don't want waste. God increased my capacity to hold on to some more. Yeah, you overflow. You're overflowing because your capacity's small. My capacity, I can. Let me explain something to you. Sometimes you can't get more because it'll blow your capacity out. Sometimes what you're praying for God can't give you because your blessing will become a curse. Oh, Lord. You're praying for more, and God said, if I give it to you, you'll know how to handle it. God, I just want a new car. God said, you ain't ready for that level car yet. Because if I gave it to you, you ain't even ready to pay the car, no. You sure don't want the maintenance. You know how much to replace a rim on that thing costs? You ain't ready for that. Stay where you at. I won't overflow. No, you don't. Just stay. Learn to manage what you. Now you want some overflow. You want some hangover. But God said you got to perfect the manna from the day. Can you? Because if some of y'all have some stuff, some of us have had some things that have went bad because you tried to hold it over. Because manna next day was. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And you trying to hold on talking about overflow. Mm-mm. Overflow is a sign of lack of capacity. But if the vats are running over, you ain't buy big enough vat. That's why I say, Lord, fill me up. And I never get mad and worried about somebody else's capacity. Grandma told me every tub got to sit on its own bottom. You're not me. I'm not you. I can't get mad at what you got. Don't be looking and trying to, you're going to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-mm. I'm going to stay with me. So, Pastor, what's the lesson today? Is that when you give, if it's not sacrificial, don't call it that. Don't wait till Seed Sunday and start tithing. That's not first fruit. I feel it. I might as well say it. That's stolen goods anyway. I had Brother Tommy, I'm just me and you talking. I had first financed my car, and I thought I was doing something smart, putting all of the information in, and I pushed the button too fast and paid my car note, trying to be proactive. But I pushed the button that said principal only. And I said, oh, this is nice. And all of that went straight to the principal. I didn't pay attention to what I was doing. I was moving too fast. And then the seventh came, and they said, your note is due. I said, no, no, no. I called the people and said, y'all wrong. I paid my note on the first. I was early. Y'all don't tell me I had bass in my voice because I knew. Because not only had it went through on their side, it had came out of my account already. So I knew that they was wrong. So I'm talking to them like they wrong. And the guy said, no, no, no. You paid a principal payment. Your note is still due. You owed both of them to us, but one had a date on it. Now, we can move it this time, but next time I need you to pay closer attention to what you're doing, because it all don't go to the same thing. Why are you giving us that example, Pastor? Because if you're giving a tithe, give a tithe. If you're giving a seed and hadn't given a tithe, go back and give your tithe first. Because you can't give one without the other one automatically being due. Because if the first fruit is of your increase, you still owe a tithe. I'm done with the lesson. We ready for the questions, first lady. If they got a question, somebody. Why did you open this up for questioning? And I didn't want you to ask them unless you feel comfortable. But let first let it do it, because I want to make sure that we get three good questions. But I really wanted us to make sure, for clarity's sake, because I don't want you to think that this is just about raising money, because this ain't about that. No. I'm gonna say crazy. I'm direct enough to say if I wanted to raise money, I'd stand up and say, y'all, we need to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need y'all to know all of the church bills are paid. I remember a year ago. It was a year ago. I was sitting on a boat a year ago, and I me and God was talking, and I hear him better on the water. Y'all don't talk to me. And I was out there. And he told me to switch from famine theology a year ago. I came back and told y'all, God said, we can't keep raising money with this famine mentality, which means you only give when the church needs. Because if God's church is going to live week to week, it can't be my God's church, because I don't serve a week to week God. Mm-hmm. My pushback, Bishop, was, God, how long are we going to have to suffer till the people get it? He said, is it yours? Or is it mine? Say, your church and your people. I said, all right. I said, all right. This last week, I said, God, it's been a year. I said, the door's still open, ain't it? I said, they are. I said, bills paid. Yeah. Some of them on auto pay. Y'all don't want to talk to them. Y'all don't, I don't even cut them a check. They don't. They just go in there and get it. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all don't see. Y'all ain't never had. Let me. We got to learn how to shout about getting to the next level. I had somebody ask me. Say, well, how did you know financially that your business was in a place where you were really, you know, kind of getting comfortable? I said, when I went from paying bills to putting some of them on auto pay.
Yeah.
And they said, huh? I said, because you know that auto pay will hit you. Baby, you sitting there at the wrong restaurant and you get that text alert, help Jesus. Why is this important? Because overflow can't find you. God's blessings can't find you if you don't trust Him. Yeah. I want you to understand this. I sat back and tried to find the best example of God's trust. And God gave me Job. And then it gave me clarity to understand why we deal with some of the stuff we deal with. Because if you don't understand that God's trust comes with trouble, the devil said, they're in a meeting. First lady, I'm ready. They're in a meeting. The devil shows up in the meeting. Where have you been? I've been roaming to and fro, seeking who I may devour. I've been doing my job. The devil doesn't say Job's name. Y'all don't want to talk to me. The devil didn't say, I slid past Job's house, but you put the fence up, couldn't get in. He said, God says, this is trust. If you want to try me, try Job. If you want to see what trust me look like, try Job. Y'all don't even ready for this. If you want to see the person that took your job, put Job in the game. Send him through hell and watch him still praise me. The devil left and gave Job a ride for his money. And the first chapter ends, Job in the praise. The Lord gave. The Lord takes away. But bless. Come on, y'all. That's what trust in God look like. Sometimes it looks like going through hell. Because some of us can honestly say, it was the hell I went through that got me at church on a rainy Sunday. It was scared that an executive order was coming to my job. Say, I need to know what God is saying. I didn't hear CNN, MSNBC, Fox. I didn't heard all of the correspondents and all of the analysts and all of the smart people. And I heard about federal jobs and state jobs and all of these other jobs. But guess what? I needed to hear what God was saying. You telling me what they put on the paper, let me tell you what he put in the book. All right, I'm sorry, first.
Hello, Mike. child. He done messed me up.
I was trying to give you a mic.
The questions. The question. Okay. Question number one. If I make $1,000 and pay tithe, which is $100, how much is my first fruit?
So if you make $1,000 out of your first check, in the technical arena, the reality is that the first fruit would be the thousand. We just don't push it to that level because that's your first. So technically, your first fruit would be your first check. Yeah, y'all, I ain't making it up. Animals coming out. Well, Pastor, that's the whole first check. Abel gave a whole animal. But it's giving at a level that is sacrificial. So until you get to that, y'all don't want to talk to me. The problem with some of us is we'll never get to the level of giving because we don't believe that we can give at that level. Which means until you get to that level, pray, have faith, give sacrificially, because one day you won't be looking for a blessing. You'll be trying to be a blessing. So it's whatever your first fruit is your first increase of the year. Now, some people, it's your first week. Some people, we've given a dollar amount. That's really not fair because for some of us in here, $250 ain't sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
My prayer is that one day it ain't a sacrifice for nobody in here. That's a time coming that every week you can give. Y'all don't talk.
Yeah.
That understand that the first fruit would be whatever your first increase is of the year. But what we say is until we get to that level, give whatever out of that thousand is a sacrifice.
Right.
That makes sense?
Amen.
So if it's not a sacrifice, it can't be first fruit. Because sacrifice does require, first fruits does require sacrifice.
Amen. Should first fruit be given once a year, a month, or a week?
Once a year. It's first fruit. It's your first increase. It was one of the feasts that happened every year. It's once a year. It's once a year. Every week, every month is your tithe. It's tithe is totally different from sowing seed. Tithe is what you owe. You give a seed.
You pay a tithe.
Because it's a biblical principle.
Right.
Y'all don't want to talk to me. I'm finna, can I give you something that's really anti where I should be right now? Giving to a church to pay bills is not a seed.
Woo.
It's either bad stewardship or bad membership. Bad stewardship because you gave it and it was taken care of poorly. Bad membership because you didn't give it at first. You gave it out of a need for the ministry, but not out of a need because you were supposed to give anyway. Y'all know people that you done loaned money and they forgot it? Now you sitting there saying, but you supposed to give me today anyway. Well, I give it to you now, I guess, since you need it. No, you should be giving it because you owe it.
Amen. And that, I believe you answered the second question, third question already. That question was, do you consider the tithe as a first fruit? And you kind of already explained that.
No, tithe is tithe. First fruit is seed. There are different kinds of seed. There are different reasons to give seed. There's different expectations from seeds that you sow. But the tithe is never a seed. Okay. Tithe is, watch this, this is what's going to be crazy. Tithe is a harvest. Tithe is, you can only give a tithe if you've received an harvest. It's your automatic response from the harvest. So if you, if God gives you 1,000, you giving him 100 from the 1,000. You don't owe him 100 if you ain't get the 1,000. That's why I never understood. This is going to sound real. I'm out here anyway. I never understood people with no jobs mad at offering time. He up there talking about he want everybody to give $100. Why you mad? She ain't got 100. I ain't talking to you anyway. You need to be at the altar praying for favor on your job situation. But you over here got a wrong spirit.
Do you
y'all don't want to talk to me.
Do you have time for a few?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going. But let me finish this thought. Then you keep going. The problem for some of us is that we don't know how to get in the right circle. We don't have friends. We create echo chambers. They saying what you want to hear, so you keep them around. I don't need you over here mad at the church with me. I need to be at the church where the people with the job that's given, I'm going to start sitting beside them, baby. So how did you get, what, your job, they hiring you? And why you keep rubbing on my shoulder, baby? I seen how you was giving last week. I'm praying for the day that I start getting same grace, baby, same. I look like hanging around broke folks talking about how we ain't, none of us got no money. That's an echo chamber, baby. I don't need that. I need people around me. Y'all ready? If you're the smartest person in the room, change room. If you're the richest person in your room, change rooms. I like going to nice hotels. I just look in the suites. They be cleaning rooms. I just be all in the room. Then I go eat, sit down at the, be on hotels.com. Tell me, okay, that's only.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to save a little bit more, baby. We want to get that room. I think I can put that one on the card. We can. But when I see it from a distance, I know what I'm working for. I don't need nobody with me talking about, you know how much that costs? No, I ain't looked at it yet. Give me a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me act right.
What are some practical ways we can demonstrate faith and obedience when it comes to giving?
Budget. Put. When you get paid, slide God his first. Before you pay your mortgage, before you pay your life bill, slide him here. And then when you slide him here, take care of your other priorities. People say, well, pay you first. Mm-mm, because we live in a society, once you finish with you, you might not have nothing for nobody else. Woo! Because some of us struggle with bad priorities. And some of us have higher lifestyles than we can afford. You just got enough money to make it work. Let me say it again. Some of us live in lifestyles that's too high for us. You just got enough money to make it work. So you start robbing Peter to pay Paul and living in a house of cards. And now you're stressed out and you got this nice house that you can't even sleep in because you can't afford it. Mm-mm. Take care of God first. He will always take care of the rest. Watch this. But this ain't no magic trick. You still need a budget. You still need a job. Let me tell you what I know from personal experience. I don't care how long you fast and pray, them people still want their money. Mm-mm. I don't care how much you love God in the pardon of your sin, they want their money. If they say they filing for eviction, you can pray, but pack. You better pray, Go, you better go ride behind Kroger's and get them free boxes and going on the move. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I got faith God going to change their mind. I believe he will. But if he don't, because what we do is we treat God like a genie and want him to step in when we've never done our part. You taking care of everything out of order and then want God to put it in order to make it work. Okay, I'm sorry. My back hurt. Oh.
The blood of Jesus.
I'm old.
Why do you think God places importance on first fruit instead of what we give last or after other priorities?
Because God is first. You give to God first because he's first. It's out of priority. What you feel like is most important is what you do first. Which is the problem we have at church. It's some people that didn't come to church today because it was raining. Tomorrow they're going to work. Same rain. Same dangerous roads tomorrow. Come, ain't gonna be more people out there. But it is more of a priority.
Amen.
For them. But watch this. It's the people that keep it at a level of priority that gets the blessing. Okay, watch this. I'm gonna get this. It's always the people that don't respect their partner that have a question about the people that do. It's always the people that don't respect their partners that have a question about why you do so much for yours. Why you fixing their plate? Why you doing this? Why you doing it? Because they're a priority to me. But then the same people come around and say, y'all always on vacation because I was fixing them plates. You need to get you some plates fixing and maybe you'll get you on a trip or something. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You better get a plate fixing and some. Y'all just be looking and smiling. You don't know what we smiling for. You need to get you a smile. Because it's about priority. All of the married people make no. Nobody want to be married to that. I ain't saying you got the light up, but you ought to at least turn on the light or something when they say my name. Am I making sense? But watch this. If you understand that about marriage, think about that about God. Why you always got, cause baby, let me tell you, I love God because he'll just blow my mind. I seen him flip it, turn it upside down, move me around. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I seen it. Can I get my testimony real quick?
Yeah,
I seen him tell me to start a church. And I didn't even believe in starting churches. Did not believe in church planning and talked about church planners. And he had me do it to get me ready for this.
Thank you, Lord.
Because what I thought I had capacity for without it, I went through the storm to see. No, you need to learn everything that's over here.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Because I got something in store for you. Yes. But because we together, he said start, I started. And the same people I told don't start, call me. Thought you said you ain't believe in starting. I don't believe in starting.
But the Lord.
I said every step of the way he blew my mind. I said I wasn't going to tell my pastor. My pastor told me. God been talking to me. God told you to start a church. I said, well, I guess he did. I had a meeting. I said, well, God, if don't nobody come, this was a good try. I'm going back. We're sitting around the table. I said, okay, I guess we're going to do it. All right. January 5th. I said, y'all, we're going to go down early and do a walkthrough for the service and do the order and do all of this. Ain't nobody coming. I pulled up, they beat me down. So, all right, Jesus. What are we doing? Well, you gonna need me to stand. So we need a sanctuary server. I ain't never done that before, but I'll stand here. You just need me to stand right here? I'll stand right here. We're going to at home buying stuff. But it's always about God. So every step of the way, I've always told people, it's never been me. Because if it was me, I never would have done it. Why? Because I told them, I don't think that, you know, it's enough churches. I don't need another one. Tired of people splitting churches. But I never candidated inside of somebody else's church. Never went to somebody's church saying, y'all all come with me to victory. I never did that. Because I don't believe it. I believe every seed you sow is going to grow into something. If life and death is in the power of the tongue, it's just not about good stuff. That's why I killed my negative spirit I had. I used to love to laugh and talk about, can't talk about everything, because I don't need that stuff growing up in my field. Preachers call me, I'm ready to pastor. Then get under your pastor and love him. He crazy, that's good, love him crazy. Because you're going to need somebody to love you when they think you crazy. Because some people will only follow you because they see how you follow. Okay, I'm sorry. You were asking about scenes. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. One more.
Okay, the last
one. It's raining. Ain't nobody going nowhere anyway.
Oh, my God.
Ain't nobody trying to get out of there. Oh, Jesus.
What are some examples from your own life or other experiences where giving led to unexpected blessings? What are some examples from your own life or other experiences where giving led to unexpected blessings?
The first example I have, I went to CarMax to buy a car. And I had just started giving consistently, because I just started getting paid consistently. And my prayer was, because I was used to inconsistent giving, my credit was jacked up. And so, JJ1, I prayed and said, God, if you straighten up my income, I'm going to straighten up and start giving. And God said, okay. How you know he said okay? Because I started getting on the regular. And when he started giving, I started giving. And about this time, I got really close to a giver. And I realized that we didn't have to move one to the other side. We could balance each other out. Because she saw ground as opportunity to sow. I saw ground and needed to evaluate it. Yes. Because we be sitting in church, she be ready to cut a check. This ain't good ground. We going to get cash. This ain't a checkbook. Y'all better learn to evaluate the ground you giving in. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me. Okay, I'm sorry. You asked for an example of me giving. And so I was working on my credit. And I would tell y'all my credit score when I got my first car on my own. You wouldn't believe me. But I went looking. No, it wasn't the first car I got on my own. That sounds arrogant. It was my first Mercedes, though. It was. It was my first Mercedes. And I had a church in a hotel. And people's looking like, he's stealing money. But I knew what the offering was. And two of the top givers of the church stayed at my house. Now, understand, I've never paid bills for the church. Because that was my argument with God. I knew people that had started churches, and they carried the weight of the ministry. And I said, God, you said start a church. I never said this. I said I wanted to Pastor Larry. I didn't say now. I didn't say I was in a hurry. I wasn't trying to cut no line. I wasn't mad at nobody while I left.
which threw everybody off because most people leave churches because they're mad. So I was giving to the church that God gave me, and a church asked me, said, well, would you come over here to pastor? I said, well, I'm doing certain stuff for my baby that I won't do for you, so I'm going to need a check.
Right.
So I went to the dealership, and they started telling me how much I had to put down. Mel, I was looking for no money down because I ain't had no money. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I had a car that was paid off. That the only reason I was looking for a new car was because the AC to be replaced was going to be $2,200. I'm study giving. I'm study trusting God. But I got to leave home real early. And it's only so much you're going to be able to roll that window down before you end up sweaty anyway. And the guy said, you need to put this much money down to get your note around this. And I said, what if I trade this car in? He gave me way more than it was worth. And I said, now mind you, I ain't always been a giver. And so I had some plot still left in me. So I wasn't sure if this was God or a mistake. But whatever it was, give me the paper quick. Give me that paper right now. Because I left home for a lower car. But God had a way. Because when I sat in the car, I went looking for it, it was too small. Not for my ego. I'm just a big guy. And it's what taught me not to settle. Because I thought, well, I could never afford this. And God said, no. It wasn't, watch this. It was God through the salesman. Say, I just got some men over here. I said, oh, no, I can't afford no Mercedes, man. You're not going to do me like that. I'm a pessimist by myself. You're not going to get my hopes up to be. He said, sir, just come look at it. I said, no, I don't want to come look at it. Just show me something else. Give me a small SUV or something you're going to be able to do. He said, just come look at it, sir. I looked, sat in it, drove it. The whole time, like my eyes was closed because I wasn't getting excited. Yeah. And the whole time, I'm just starting a church. But I've been consistent with God. Yeah. And so I said to the guy and to God, I know what I can afford for a note. Yeah. And I told the church, I'm not taking a check. Y'all don't want to talk to me. So I ain't got no makeup from the other side if I come shout. And because of my faithfulness in that arena, that was the first financial blessing I saw from my consistent giving because I didn't put a penny down. Matter of fact, what they gave me for the truck, I cut in half and we went to eat. Wait, let me show you where overflow comes from. I had a warranty on the car that was paid off. They gave me the money back from half of the warranty. That was the first. The second, we got ready to move. We raised $15,000 in 15 minutes at a church that wasn't used to raising $15,000 in a month. Went into a space that they wanted 2 years worth of financial records. We was only 6 months old. Yeah. Never asked for it again after telling us we needed it. I just kept going. We're going to stop when they stop. I don't know. Went in, down payment, cash, no loans. Moved from there to another place. No money down, no loan. Fully furnished.
Oh, glory.
And we raised money in that building that helped us get into this one. Because it's been consistent every step of the way. When storm come, we've been consistent every step of the way. Things have happened here y'all don't even know about because of consistency every step of the way. And I just trust him every time. We laughed this week and said, I think it's the fifth cruise we've been on. Yeah. It's the first one I paid all cash. I ain't owe nobody. I ain't. Come on, y'all. When I walked off the boat, I left everything that I wanted to leave. Because I'm at a place in my life I don't want to owe nobody. But I know if I give to God first, he's shown me where he'll make money just available. Just go, here you go, go do this. Go do this. Go do this. Every step of the way. Because I believe that giving opens room for you to get. Trust him. And no matter what it is you're trusting him for, give. And watch the windows of heaven open up.
Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody say, allow my giving to grow. Allow my giving to grow. Allow my giving to grow. See, when you say grow, that means grow me, grow my money, grow my mind. Allow my giving to grow. Amen. What an awesome word. Amen. God is so good. I feel the anointing and the presence of God in this place. Amen. Amen. Come on, and somebody just close your eyes for a minute. Just begin to reflect on the goodness of God. God, thank you for that word. Thank you for the freedom that's in the room. Thank you for the blessings that's flowing. God, begin to speak to hearts right now. Begin to open up spiritual eyes, oh God. Father, you know the needs that's in the room, oh God. And the same rain that's outside, I pray that it will begin to rain in here. Your abundance, your spirit. Allow your glory to flow through your word. Na shanda hasi.